bridge too.
Uh-huh. And what is that? What does? Tell me about that problem.
Because there are lots of people. In fact, I have a doctor, the Catholic Medical Mission Board, sent for us as a volunteer. He went there, he was looking for six weeks. Then he told me he would come in back every 3 months for 4 weeks. Then he get tired because he said he cannot, you know, learn the language. So he left because he said wherever he goes, people always speak English. So in order to have anybody there, I always have to be there with them because the people over there don't speak English.
Mm.
You'll find most of them speak Spanish. The Spanish and French, you find lots of people speak Spanish, but the English, you know, they don't speak that thing.
Estelle, I want to
ask.
And
we always have an email. If they want to write me, they could write. The email is edubison, one word.
Okay, let me ask you to hold on. We're at the top of the hour. I just wanted to give a station ID, so I'm going to ask you just to hold on for one moment, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, just hold on.
This is Jeffrey Wright.
This is Mos Def.
You're listening to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI.
New York, New York, 99.5 FM.
My woman said, shine your light on the world. Shine your light for the world to see. My hobby said, shine your light on the world.
And, of course, you're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI in New York. And the show is Underneath the Learning Tree. My name is Kamau Kalfani. And on the phone with me is one Estelle. Let me see if I got the last name right. Dubison?
Yes.
Ah!
You get it. You get it.
Estelle, before we did the ID, the station ID, you were about to give your email address, and I would ask that you give it slowly and to make sure that we get each letter in the email address.
Okay, email is edubison at fclh.org.
Okay, and would you, that is your first initial and last name, would you just make sure?
Yes, it's in one word.
Would you make sure you spell that, please?
Okay, is E as in Edward, D as David, U as Union, B as Boy, U as Union, I as Island, S as in Sister, O as Ohio, N as in Nelly.
All right. What I want to do right now is I'm going to open up the lines in the event that there are people who would like to ask you any questions in reference to this, or someone wants to offer some assistance, and we're going to take a second to do that. So I would ask you to hold on while I put on, let's see, I shall go into my collection of music and see if we can't find something appropriate. Wait, let me blow the dust off of you. But, you know, this is extremely important, and I generally don't do it like this, but I am intentionally doing it like this. Look, you know, you open up the books and people start walking in when they know you're going to play some music. So, listen, what's this guy? Let's see. You know, sometimes we have to call on by whatever name, that divine power. And we have to proclaim in public that we are just frail human beings.
Right.
And so I'm going to play some appropriate dialing music. And I just want you guys to call us at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900.
I glory, hallelujah. 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 Most High God, glory be to the Most High God, hallowed be thy name. King of kings and Lord of lords, worthy to be praised. I ascribe to you dominion, power and grace. Through the years and years to come, you'll always be the same. It's me again, Jah. As I fall on my knees today, help me, God, I pray. Go on and be carried away. It's me again, God. As I fall on my knees today, help me, God, I pray. Preserve my soul today. I look around the world today, oh God, and you will see. Pharisees and backbiters taking up in vanity, but I know you control my destiny.
Good morning, you're on BAI.
Yes, hello, good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. Estelle,
yes.
I just really want to congratulate you for your heart of servitude. My goodness, I'm like, wow, I'm just really in awe. Presently, I'm a member of a group called OMAD, which is Overseas Medical Assistant Team,
yes, yes.
And the president is Dr. Carroll.
Yes.
And what this group has done thus far, it has, you know, it's comprised of a group of surgeons, doctors, nurses, and PAs.
Yes.
And with the group normally would go 1 week or 2 weeks to Guyana, to Haiti and other places. And for the last 5 years, what they decided to do was to devote 5 years into going, 5 consecutive years into going to Haiti.
Yes.
And I think this is going to be our last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And thereafter, the reason we did it this year rather than from jumping from one island to another,
yeah,
we wanted to actually establish a rapport with the people first. And so then it would be best to do like a 5 year and then move on to another developing nation.
I see.
So I'm definitely wanting to, you know, to talk to the group,
yes,
and see perhaps if some people would like, because we do have Haitian. I myself, I'm Haitian and I'm a nurse.
Yes.
And we do have Haitians in the group.
Yes.
But the only thing is that they're only able to give help like 1 week or 2 weeks at a time.
I know, because the eye doctor is usually just for 1 week also.
Right.
Yes.
And also, I definitely won't mind as far as galvanizing a group of nurses.
Yes.
Also, to try and put people together. I'm good at trying to do that.
Yes.
And perhaps, you know, if we can have like group of people, like at least, you know, once every 2 months, like,
yes,
have different group of fives or group of 10,
yes,
to come and just to give our help and perhaps.
That would help. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Yes, your name is Estelle?
Let,
yes.
Let me interrupt you one moment. I inadvertently cut the previous caller off. So if she would just dial back, I'll make sure that she gets in, okay? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to make a pledge of $200.
Oh, thank you very much.
And,
I just wanted to suggest that I want to make sure everybody has Estelle's contact number.
Okay.
All right. Estelle, would you give that contact number?
Okay, the telephone number is 212-666-4664. Okay.
Okay.
And the address, the name of the organization is Friends of the Children of Las Cahobas.
Oh,
Haiti.
Lord, I don't know how to spell that.
I will spell it for
okay.
you.
Right.
Las Cahobas is L as in Louis, A as in Antoine,
right.
S as in Sister, C as in Cecilia, A as Apple, L as in Louis, Lasca, C-A-H as in Henry, O as Ohio,
right.
B as Boy, A,
goodness.
Incorporated.
Right. By the way, I want to see if that
right. And the address is P.O. Box 2047.
2047.
New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
10025.
10025.
Okay. You know, sometime for short, for the name of the organization, we can also say F as in Frank, C as in Charles, L as in Louis,
right.
H as in Henry. Oh. We stand for, you know.
Oh, F-C-L-H.
H, yes.
Right. Okay.
And also, would you give the web address?
Okay, the web is
That's three W's, www.
Yes, FCLH.org.
Okay. FCLH.org.
Yes.
And by the way, do we have our new... I cut someone off before. Did you rejoin us?
Yes.
Okay, good. She's back.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so also I wanted... I heard you said... You mentioned that you had an event and actually you didn't have a good turnout.
No.
You know, and also I would definitely like to help as far as doing the fundraising because that is precisely how we're able... to finance the group, OMAD group.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to know, now, is this number that you gave out, 212-666-4664, that's the number you can be reached at?
Yes. And even if I'm not home, I have an answering machine, you can always leave the message.
Okay. All righty.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're
welcome.
We are just about out of time for this segment. Estelle. Uh-oh.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, I really want to thank you for stopping by with us.
Okay, and I will thank you for giving me the exposure.
No, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. I want to remind the people that you're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI in New York. My name is Kamau Kalfani, and I forgot to tell everybody, I got a special guest that's here with me today. You've probably heard me speak about him in the past.
Yeah.
He goes by the name, well, we call him affectionately, the Young Prince, a.k.a. Yaya, but he's also known as Kamau Yaya Kalfani, which is my son.
Oh, well, that's nice.
He is here with me today. So we're going to take a short musical break, and when we come back, we might be able to speak to the Young Prince. Estelle, thank you again.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Help us all. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. Hear me when I
What a sight to say. Peace and love and unity. my community.
Come and sing, say.
Give me the strength and give me the energy, the energy. I make me talk to me family, me family. And each and every wicked man, all of them follow me. Judgment is not going to be iniquity. Must win the battle. As far as I can see, you get them hit by the devil. Feel like you're safe. Well, this world don't live, so me say.
I'm a radio listener, more than a TV person, because I'm always on the go. The thing that kept me in contact with the world and with what's going on is the radio.
I've been away for so long, I wonder.
And I listen to WBAI a lot. WBAI in New York City with Angelique Kidjo. Stay tuned.
Non-commercial and with no additives. We're listener-supported.
99.5 FM WBAI in New York. And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from Las Vegas, Nevada. All right, maybe we might not put him in directly. How about his entrance music?
If them want to win the revolution, they must win it with Rasta. You can't win no other way. Because if you win other way, you have to fight again. When you Rasta win, there's no more war.
Yeah. Hear the words of the Rasta man say. Babylon, your throne gone down. Babylon, your throne gone down.
And it goes like that. What you talking about? What you talking about? Yeah, what you talking about? Yeah, what you talking about?
Did I hear?
Did he say fly away home? This is Kamau Kalfani. And you know, there have been several circumstances where I have spoken of the young prince. Well, today he's in the studio with me, kind of. He looks like he's here physically, but to be truthful, both of us needed to get a little rest, and we were on a whirlwind tour. But without further ado, let me introduce to the New York listening area my son, Kamau. Good morning, young prince.
Hi.
Well, more words of wisdom gathered and summoned. How you doing?
Fine.
Sounds a little sleepy, man. Like you're ready to go back to sleep, huh? All right. Well, there you have it. Great words of wisdom. And well, we'll take 30 seconds to let the young prince have his own audience. You know, I'm listening to you in the mic, and you're like really breathing heavy in the mic, man. But before we get out of here, we got about 35 minutes left. Let me open up the phone lines. We'll get a couple of words in. 212-209-2900. And we've covered a couple of topics this evening. So call in. And, of course, you get points for being the furthest away, calling from the furthest away. Also, let me remind you, I'm going to read an email. Let me get a couple of calls in. Then I want to read this email about the track club. Good morning, you're on BAI.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing this morning?
All right, quick couple of points, and I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
Number one, as you...
Go ahead, hello, whoops, sorry.
Hello?
Good morning. By the way, that caller I just cut off, just call back and we'll get you back in there. Sorry about that.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice for program.
Thank you very much.
And I'm saying hello to your son.
Oh, good. Well, I was going to answer for him, but I don't have to. He's sitting right there with vocal cords.
Okay.
Young Prince, say good morning.
I have a quotation for you on libation.
Uh-huh.
Genesis 35:14.
Uh-huh. Wait, I better let my son say good morning, reply to you.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine.
And I'm glad you are at the station. and the quotation is Genesis 35:14.
Uh-huh. By the
about
way, I'm going to let that other caller back in.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning. You're on BAI? Ooh. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. And this is about libation.
Yes.
So libation is not just for local people.
Uh-huh.
It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, too.
Uh-huh.
So you can check it out.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good, yeah. Good morning. You're on BAI.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, man. I cut you off. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
A couple of quick points.
Yes.
As you well know, that the video that was showed in California about the pig cop
mm-hmm.
bouncing on his brother,
mm-hmm.
they were vindicated for their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I keep going back to the fact that, in my opinion, coming up from the 60s, growing up in the 60s, seeing the struggles in the 60s, they're stepping on us. They got their neck their foot so strong on our necks that if we don't get it together, we're doomed to hell. This is ridiculous. I mean, this whole entire country should be closed down. Black folks in America shouldn't spend not one doggone dime, because all this protesting, all the press does is turn his backside to us and turns it up to us, like to say, "Kiss my backside." Because I'm depressed. I'm so depressed because I'm sick and tired of listening to the rhetoric, and they're just disrespecting us. Where our sister was dragged to her death when these pigs went into her home and thought she was selling drugs. I mean, what are we going to do here? I mean, what are we going to do? Keep protesting? We have to snatch these our pennies and our dollars out the slave master's pocket and let him pay economically, because that's the only thing he knows. He's not going to know nothing else. You can protest all night long, all day long. They're going to kill us if we don't get it together. Peace.
Good morning, your BAI. Good morning. Hello. All right, caller, if you are, I'm going to have to cut you loose if you don't give me some kind of response. All right, that was a response. Okay. You know, that's a frustrated brother, and I understand the frustration. Now, what I don't understand is if your level of frustration is that intense, then I'm assuming that you shouldn't be asking what we're going to do. We should already be seeing what you are doing, no matter how minor you may think your contribution is. Interestingly enough, I happen to have a tape with me that I want to run. Let me just take this other call because, you know, sometimes you can get so frustrated you just can't see what you need to do. Hold on. I got a tape I want to run, which is interesting enough. Actually, I see something I want to do. Let me see if I can do this right. Yes, let's see. I see Haile Selassie at the United Nations. I want to see if I can do this, if I can bring this in.
Auquel répondent de nombreux applaudissements. Le service d'ordre intervient et les manifestants sont expulsés.
Prie l'Assemblée de m'excuser si je ne m'exprime pas en français. Je reviens sous ma pensée avec toute la force de mon esprit et de mon cœur en parlant en amérique. ጦርነቱን እንደተጀመረ በ1930ዓ.ም መጨረሻ የኢጣሊያን የአውሮፕላኖች ጦር ሰራዊት የጋዝ ላክሪሞጅን ያለበት ቦምብ ጣሉባቸው።
Within months of the war flared up in Spain. Soon Hitler was to snuff out Austria and Czechoslovakia after their end. But with the going of Selassie, the League ended its life as a peacekeeping body. Collective security was dead.
Now, that was Haile Selassie addressing the UN. And, of course, everybody knows that the black man went to the UN and said, listen, they're coming up in my house, and you need to jump up in here. And they all wrote letters and said, well, you know, we sure are sorry. And basically, you know, didn't do anything, as is much the case. I want to play a tape, and I don't know how much I'm going to get through. And the tape is going to be kind of rough, but there's a guy named Bobby Wright, psychologist who is no longer with us. Interesting stuff he says. I just want to run this tape and, you know, see what happens here. But we'll let's see what happens here, okay? All right. We're going to be right back with the I don't know if this thing is even working. Let's see.
First, that the groundwork of this presentation, and that the presentation was written exclusively for black audience, for the black public, black people, in fact. Back in the early 60s, I wrote another article once and gave a talk to a group of blacks, and a white person was in the room. And it became misinterpreted, what I said, some of the things. And I ended up before a federal investigating committee, which there's still some repercussions from that. Since the 1960s until this article was published, I have never again spoken in front of white groups. I'm not inclined to do so at this moment, except that once you publish something and it's open to scrutiny in this country, and in order for me to reach a lot of black students who I find on these white universities, it almost compels me to now reach an audience which I think is very important, which are the black students. But with that condition, I would like for you to understand, for all those of you here to understand that I'm more concerned with some type of interaction between blacks, another way of looking at behavior, attitude. And there are some givens here. One of the givens is that there's a man called Edward Scheer at the University of Chicago. He takes the position that there could be no such thing as a black intellectual, because this society has clearly defined blacks as being incapable of dealing with academia or intellectualism. Now, the first reaction of probably blacks, like some of the ones you talk about, Richard Wright and all like that, would be to argue Shields, and, which would be a mistake. But I don't. I accept the fact that Edward Shields and people like him, Bainfield, Jensen, Shockley, are the ones who define the reality of a European world. And that's why I do not argue with their definitions of what blacks are. I do, however, consider myself a black scientist. I do not believe that science is objective, nor do I believe, as a friend of mine, and a friend of a couple of brothers in here, Jacob Roberts, nor do I believe it's neutral. And so with that, I wrote this. I finally published this. This is one of the things I've published. And, of course, it's getting some reaction. And I'll read it. And I don't know how much time we have here, but that will keep me from answering questions, so I'm going to try to read. And I think, it's, as I said, it might be considered presumptuous of a black scientist or a black doctor to not document in the tradition of the European academic world. But as I was coming into this building and I saw that cross on the door out there, it struck me of how European named Martin Luther, I think this is a Lutheran school, Martin Luther decided to develop his own religion. And he didn't ask the Pope for permission. He simply went, and I think the way it was in Wittenberg somewhere, he went and nailed his 95 theses. I mean, if you all are in that, so you can tell me, up against the wall, and out of that came a school like this. This is a Lutheran school. It's here to promote Lutheranism, or however you pronounce that. And so this is the way science always is. Some man or some man decides this is reality, and then he builds an army in order to promote it for those who disagree with him. So with that in mind, I would like to just go through this for those of you who haven't read it, and then maybe we can get some dialogue. In a bullfight, there comes a time when, after being brutalized while making innumerable charges at the movement of a cape, the bull finally turns and faces his adversary, with the only movement being his heaving bloody sides. How many people in here from psychology? See, one of the myths of the behavior of a bull is that bulls charge at color. You got red on the bull. Coming out of the cotton fields of Alabama, where we had many bulls, I can tell you, bulls will move after anything that moves, and that is what they chase after, anything that moves. So in a bullfight, the bullfighter, he moves his cape, and the bull charges at it without ever seeing the bullfighter, until every once in a while the bullfighter makes a mistake and he moves, the matador makes a mistake and he moves, and the bull usually goes in. But bulls with bulls are basically are colorblind. They basically are colorblind, so it's really not that they see anything red. You can wave a white flag at a bull, and he still would charge it. So the bull finally turns and faces his adversary, with the only movement being his heaving bloody sides. It is believed that for the first time, he really sees the matador. And this final confrontation is known as the moment of truth. For the bull, this moment comes too late. The experience of black people all over the world presents an analogous situation. For hundreds of years, we have been charging at the banners that are held by the European or the white matadors. And those banners have been represented by concepts such as democracy, capitalism, Marxism, and religion, and also education. And they remain constant as long as blacks wear assets. However, with technology and worldwide industrialization on the rampage, resulting in a further exploitation of Africa's resources, which in turn produces an increase in Africans or black national consciousness, blacks are now a threat and a liability to the white race. And the banner held by the matador represents only one concept, genocide. As a consequence, major research that white scientists are involved with today is genocidal in nature. For example, nuclear warfare, population control, medication control, genetic engineering, psychosurgery, electrical stimulation of the brain, and the highly complex science of behavior technology. Therefore, it is indeed Black's moment of truth, and it's time for us to look at the matador. This presentation is based upon a very simple premise, namely that in their relationship with the black race, whites are psychopaths. And their behavior reflects an underlying biologically transmitted proclivity with roots deep in their evolutionary history. It merely means that this psychopathic trait is genetically determined. The psychopath is an individual who is constantly in conflict with other persons or groups. He is unable to experience guilt, is completely selfish and callous, and has a total disregard for the rights of others. This premise is supported by overwhelming scientific evidence. There is a scientific dictum which states that everything that exists, exists in some amount. And if it exists, it can be measured. One of the best methods that can be used to measure the psychopathic traits of the white race is by observing and analyzing their universal overt behaviors and attitudes towards blacks. However, in doing that, since blacks have been enslaved and colonized by them, a very sole psychological problem is posed that every black should be aware of. That is, merely having intellectual insight about whites does not ensure that there will be a corresponding change in blacks' behavior and attitude towards them, even when there's a threat involved. Particularly when there's a threat involved, and you can see this in almost all animal behavior or human behavior. Whenever there's a threat, many times people move to get closer to those who are threatening them rather than a way of trying to deal with them. For example, everywhere one finds whites and blacks in close proximity to each other, the whites are in control, whether it is Chicago or Zimbabwe. Yet blacks rarely question this extraordinary universal phenomenon, which defies every known statistical law of probability. In fact, blacks denounce those who simply raise the question with admonitions such as, quote, we should not be racist and treat them as they have treated us, unquote. In reply to the latter, whites are not going to stand for blacks to treat them as we have been treated. So that requires no discussion. However, the subject of black racism should be discussed. A functional definition of racism could be, quote, the oppression and exploitation of people because of their race, unquote. The oppression and exploitation of people because of their race is the functional definition of racism. Using this definition, it is very clear that at this point in time, blacks cannot be racist because of their lack of power to oppress anybody, white, Indians, Chinese, etc. Black intellectual enlightenment does not always lead to genuine insight, and it can be very damaging to the intellect, as reflected by the behavior and attitudes of many black scientists. For example, Dr. Kennedy Clark has spent his life making a fortune out of studying the victims of white oppression, his own people, and now he speaks of the, quote, irrelevancy of color, unquote. Dr. Alvin Poussant, who seems to be Johnson's publishing company psychiatrist in residence, ignores the widespread genocidal programs directed against blacks and writes such trivia as, quote, the difference between sex and love, something you would expect Ann Landers to deal with, blacks and Jews, an appeal for unity, and why blacks kill blacks. Blacks kill blacks because they have never been trained to kill whites. Therefore, it's outside their experience. Historically, the European system has encouraged the killing of blacks. And since blacks have been led to believe that they are part of the psychopath system, they simply follow the practice. Dr. James Comer is another black psychiatrist whom the psychopaths have so overwhelmed that he has moved, as his book suggests, beyond black and white, quote unquote. Cars and Grill followed this tradition of blacks studying themselves rather than their oppressors by concluding black rage that whites make blacks so mad that they kill themselves. Black scientists generally rationalize their investigation as attempting to prove to white scientists that blacks can be scientifically objective. On the subject of objectivity in science, this author takes the position of Dr. Jacob Carruthers in his brilliant essay on science and oppression. Brother Carruthers states that, quote, science is not objective, nor is it neutral, unquote. A black scientist who moves outside the psychopath's approved course of study takes the chance on being labeled unscientific, emotional, biased, etc. Additionally, this is one of the things that when I was really writing for black audience, you always get from black and white scientists that, oh, you know, you shouldn't be emotional about it. And you look up and you see black children being stoned in Boston, and you see the correct way, if you're internalized and become completely colonized, you say, no, that is absolutely absurd. They're acting like savages. I don't. I get real emotional about it. So, additionally, funds are only available to black scientists who support the approved course of study, which is ourselves. Many very competent black students, and this is strictly for the black students, who are naive about white scientific inquiry, quote, are flunked out of schools because of their insistence of studying the ideology of black problems, the whites, rather than the effect. Black students must be taught, and they must understand that white educational institutions are the matador's cape that protects him from any black scientific inquiry, which would expose an unthinkable depth of psychopathology. In order to understand the psychopathic personality, one must differentiate between three classifications, namely the neurotic, the psychotic, and the psychopath. It must be remembered that these definitions of psychopathology are ones that have been established and adhered to by the World Health Organization's International Classification of Disease. It's not well known in the black community, but the World Health Organization International Classification of Diseases, which the psychiatrists in this country call the DSM, is used to classify blacks into committing them to mental institutions. And yet blacks have had very little to do with those classifications or in terms of those studies. In fact, schizophrenia here in the United States is classified a lot different than schizophrenia in Europe, but they all use the International Classification of Disease, the DSM. Generally, the neurotic is a person who suffers a great deal over problems that are handled fairly routine by a well-adjusted personality. The major problem for neurotics is their inordinate amount of anxiety. However, in contrast to the psychotic, the neurotic has very good reality contact, and the psychotic doesn't. The psychotic, in addition to being out of touch with reality, has severe malfunctioning and many times has to be hospitalized for long periods of time. This leaves us with the psychopath. Scientists agree that without classification, there is no science. For the disciplines of psychology and medicine, it is not necessary for labels and diagnoses to have concrete reality. That is, they can be retained if they are useful in understanding and treating diseases. For example, the majority of patients that are admitted or committed to mental hospitals in this country are diagnosed as being schizophrenic, although there is no general agreement among psychiatrists and psychologists on the definition of schizophrenia. In other words, there's no general agreement on what schizophrenia is, but most of your clients in mental hospitals are labeled schizophrenic. However, even though it is not required, this presentation does have concrete reality. Namely, it's the Europeans or the whites' behavior and attitudes towards blacks. Behavior scientists generally agree that the outstanding characteristic of the psychopathic personality is the almost complete absence of ethical or moral development and an almost total disregard for appropriate patterns of behavior. This characteristic has led to a misunderstanding of the psychopath. That is, the belief that they do not know the difference between right and wrong. It is untrue. Psychopaths know the difference between right and wrong. They simply ignore the concept. By ignoring this trait in the white race, the lack of ethical and moral development, blacks have made and are still making a tragic mistake in basing the worldwide black liberation movement on moral suasion. It is pathological for blacks to keep attempting to use moral suasion on the people who have no morality where race is the variable. Because of their lack of ethical or moral development, there's no conflict between the white's religion and racial oppression. The white race has historically oppressed, exploited, and killed black people, all in the name of their God, Jesus Christ, and with the sanction of their churches. For example, it is generally overlooked that the Ku Klux Klan is primarily a religious organization. And blacks should never forget the Pope blessing the Italian planes and pilots on their way to bomb an Ethiopian men, women, and children who only had spears to defend themselves. This behavior is not surprising, since whites use the scriptures to justify their treatment of blacks, namely the book of Genesis, whereby Noah placed a curse on his son Ham, forever dooming all of his descendants to be the servants of the servants of God. Naturally, whites interpret blacks as being the descendants of Ham and themselves as being the servants of God. If one follows that interpretation, an interesting question can be asked. And here's the question. If Ham was black, and we're using the white's interpretation of the scripture, and Noah was his father, then one must assume, since whites deny that blacks and whites sprang from the same source, a position that I hold, that I agree with, then one must assume that Noah was black. And since Noah was black and only allowed animals on the ark, and so we know how black people got on the ark because Noah was black, and only since Noah only allowed animals on the ark, then now we know from an impeccable sources how the races got here. Unlike other extreme pathological syndromes, only a small percentage of psychopaths are committed to mental hospitals, with another small percent ending up in mental institutions. The majority of psychopaths function in society very well. They are generally average or above average in intelligence, and I'm using their definition of intelligence, and they have engaging personalities. In addition, they are usually very impressive and competent with no feelings of insecurities, anxiety, or any other manifestation of psychoneurosis.
They appear to be very honest and humane, but really have no concern or commitment except to their own selfish interest. I think we're seeing the greatest demonstration of this in what's going on now with the orphans from Vietnam. That is the most racist act that you can ever do, and the most arrogant act that's going on right now, where the American people go over there. Not only have they taken the country and tore it up, now they're taking the children from those people. You know, that defies all sort of psychological interpretation, unless you use it from the standpoint of psychopathology. After destroying the country, now they're going to destroy the kids. Blacks in the United States learned this very well during the civil rights confrontation of the 60s. The white sheriffs and judges showed their greatest hostility when blacks began to quote the law to them. This behavior can be seen clearly in the white's attitude towards, quote, black liberation, unquote. White liberals give lip service to black liberation, but still articulate that blacks are going too fast, while the others think blacks have too much in it already. The psychopath is usually sexually inadequate with a very limited capacity to form close interpersonal relationships. The European sexual inadequacy psychologically explains why there's a constant projection towards blacks as being super sexual beings and as having no sexual inhibitions. Yet it is the whites or the Europeans who streak, mate swap, participate in orgies, etc. All of their sexual behavior is a desperate attempt on their part to achieve meaningful relationships, which constantly, due to their psychopathic makeup, elude them. White sexual dysfunction has produced tragic consequences in the black community. They have attempted to achieve sexual gratification by such methods as raping black women, with the rationale being that black women were oversexed and invited their attention. Black men were castrated, with the explanation being that their, quote, animal passions, unquote, had to be contained. And one white doctor, Frank Liston, in Chicago, in 1893, proposed that castration would conserve the energy of the black community. The sustained sexual atrocities committed against the black race by the white race has no parallel in history. There's no parallel at all in history about the sexual atrocities being committed against us. And there's no scientific explanation except under the rubric of psychopathology. Psychopath's inability to accept blame and inability to learn from previous experience can be easily proven. They never accept blame for blacks' environmental conditions, which is clearly the result of white oppression. On the contrary, blacks are held as responsible for the deterioration of their communities, even though all of the property is white controlled. In addition, municipal services are withdrawn from black communities, and most of these communities have been used up before blacks are allowed to move in them. In the fields of mental health and drug abuse, whites are at their psychopathic best. The United States government position, this is the official position of the United States government, on drug users is that addicts are cured when they cease antisocial behavior, regardless of how long they have to be maintained on methadone or other drugs. The reason this has become a racist practice is because the methadone programs and the use of ex-addicts in them are confined basically to the black community. There are no white community in this country that I'm aware of where white ex-addicts are running drug programs. But this is the modus operandi of the black community. Doctors Jerome Jaffe and Everett Sinai, the czars of the U.S. drug abuse programs, with the assistance and protection of black addicts and ex-addicts, have created one of the most destructive programs in the black community, namely the methadone maintenance program. The United States government is the largest supplier of drugs to addicts in the black community. So Nate takes the position that blacks should not be given placebos. And placebos are a relative neutral substance given in the place of medication. Many doctors pass it out to clients more for their psychological and their physical needs. Although the patient might believe he is receiving medication, he is not. And so Nate takes the position that blacks should not be given placebos or just plain orange juice. Methadone is distributed through orange juice. And you cannot... through taste, you cannot tell the difference between plain orange juice and that with methadone in it. This writer takes the position that if sexually frustrated suburban white housewives can be given sugar pills rather than real drugs, why can't black addicts be given your orange juice without the methadone?
You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI. All right. We are just about out of time. That was Bobby Wright. I couldn't get through the whole tape. Maybe I'll come back and play it. There are some things that we can call controversial opinions. But then again, there are some things, some questions that we need to raise. Like, totally unrelated to that tape is the question of why we find a second postponement of the interim national board meeting. You know, when that keeps happening, that becomes a weapon of choice. You find yourself facing the very things that you said you wanted to do away with. So there needs to be some question raised on this issue. Also, I want to remind you that Black August, August 10th at 8 p.m., 2003, the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement presents Black August. Hands off Asada, free Sundiata, Sundiata Okoli. Brooklyn Cafe, 147 Flatbush Avenue at Tillery Street. They're going to have Dead Prez, Talib Kweli, Boot Camp Click, Boots from the Coup, Tony Touch, Beverly Bond, Gopale, I hope I pronounced that right, and special guest Erica Badu. That is August 10th at 8 p.m. My name is Kamau Kalfani. And oh, by the way, that's at the Brooklyn Cafe, 147 Flatbush Avenue. And don't forget, Fela Lives is our story and Felabration for all Fela people out there. So, Sunday, August 3rd, Walker Stage, 2003. Come on out. Also, don't forget, if you want to contact the Learning Tree, you can contact us at Dred Scott Press 1, the number 1 at AOL.com. Dred Scott Press, the number 1 at AOL.com. You can give us a call at 732-829-8157. That's 732-829-8157. Up next is Lister and Burn Baby Burn. And on behalf of Kamau Jaja Kalfani and Kamau Yaya Kalfani, a.k.a. the Young Prince, it's time for me to make like a tree and leave. And so, like that group, the West Street Mob, says,
you say a one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, y'all, let's break down.